Hello and welcome into this edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that today, this 26th day of November 2019, is treating you well so far. You're with us on Facebook Live. Hey, thanks for joining the group. If you are listening via podcast, wherever and whenever that may be, it's good to have you along. Thanks a lot for subscribing and sharing with your friends. You have shared with your friends, right? Guilt trip. Come on, share the podcast with your friends. Put the link on social media. Let them know what you listen to every day. All right. Wow. I'm in a momentary crisis because I'm out of coffee. This is something that has to be corrected, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but we'll see what we can do. I mean, seriously, out of coffee. I got up about an hour earlier than normal this morning. You have probably had those mornings where you wake up and look at the clock and think to yourself, the struggle is real, but I'm not winning. There's no way I'm going back to sleep. I'm just going to get up. And that's what happened this morning. About 4 a.m., I finally got to the point where I just said, forget this. And I got up. And so I've been up for, as I start recording here, about 4 hours. And I've already been through a pot of coffee, and I'm gently vibrating. If you look at me closely, I'm a little blurry because of all the caffeine. But I'm out. I've drained the pot. I've got to make some more. The elixir of life must be consumed. Anyway. Ooh, speaking of the elixir of life, I ran across something in one of these social media, a Facebook ad, it's cacao beans. It's chocolate is what it is. It's ground chocolate, ground up the way they grind coffee. It's been roasted. It's been ground. And the more I thought about it, the more I had to have it. So I placed an order for it, and it arrived yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, I got home from being out doing studio work for Dawson Now and running errands and the like. And I got back in, and on the front step was a box, and it was my roasted cacao and the French coffee, or the French press, the coffee press that comes with the package they sell. And hopefully, over the Thanksgiving holiday, we'll brew up a pot, and I'll give you a review. I'm really, really looking forward to it, because they made it sound amazing. They made it sound so good, but I'll let you know what that's like, okay? That just came out of left field. I really wasn't even going to talk about that. Well, wintertime is upon so many places. Up in Boulder, Colorado right now, they're getting a huge, huge snow dump. There are measure reports of over 17 inches of snow just in the last handful of hours. They're getting a blizzard-type dump in Boulder, Colorado right now. So if you're listening in Boulder, boy, I hope you bundle up before you go out today, because it's going to be brutal for you today. Your commute's going to be loads of fun. Of course, if you live in an area where you get a lot of snow, they have stuff in place to handle that sort of thing, and people are accustomed to driving in it. But still, there is a line that's crossed where those in charge just say, you need to stay home today. Here in the sunny Southlands, if we got 17 inches of snow, the world would come to an end. I'm just saying. The Piggly Wiggly and the A&P would have nothing left on the shelves. Forget your bread and milk. They would be empty because people would see the weather reports and lose their minds. There would be fights in the checkout aisles. It would be just insanity. So hats off to the folks in Boulder, Colorado. Bundle up. That's all I can say. Have you seen, you've probably seen the news reports about President Trump and First Lady Melania greeting Conan the Hero Dog at the White House. They stepped outside, spoke to the press, gave the dog an award, yada, yada, yada. And your liberal friends are posting on media, on social media, these little things about how these people are just horrible people. You can tell look how Melania, she moved away from the dog twice. Look at that. Oh, that's just terrible. She's a horrible person. And President Trump is so mentally addle-pated, he can't remember the breed of the dog. And He's making childish jokes and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. You people are so childish and so desperate. That's all I can say. We're talking about two people who've lived in high-rise condos without pets for years upon years upon years. Big surprise that they wouldn't be embracing the dog. Vice President Pence, on the other hand, he's reaching down, petting the dog on the head. The dog's looking up. Hey, I just met you. I like you a lot. You know, it's just, he's being a dog. And this the bit about Melania moving. I watched the video. She turned to look at the dog. And as she turned, she stepped aside so that she could look at the dog and not block camera angles. Because there were cameras everywhere. These are people who are accustomed to appearing in public. And one of the things you learn when you do what they do is that there are cameras everywhere. And when you are not the focus of attention, you don't need to block the shot. Which is what I saw Melania Trump doing. She was working hard not to block the shot for any of the cameras that happened to be there. Jeez Louise, people. You're so desperate. Ugh, it just drives me crazy. What else before we get rolling here? Let's see. Is that right? No, that's not right. Oh, yeah, the Christmas perspective. I was telling you about this yesterday. It's beginning December 1st, going through December 24th, Christmas Eve. One chapter from the book of Luke every day. Why? Because that's the Christmas story. You've heard the Christmas story probably your entire life growing up with the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Linus drops his blanket. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but he does drop his security blanket when he shares the Christmas story. Because his real security is not in the blanket. Just a little psychological aside for you there. But Linus steps out into the spotlight and tells everybody the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. Well, that's just the beginning. That's just what started it all. Actually, if you know your history, it went back much further than that. But as far as we're concerned with Christmas, that's where the beginning of the story is. Well, Luke has 24 chapters. How convenient. We start with chapter 1, work through chapter 24, so you get the entire story. You get, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. You get the whole thing from beginning to end. So Christmas morning, when you get up and the kiddos are busily unwrapping presents, everybody knows the whole story and what Christmas Day is really all about. So make sure you... If you're a subscriber to the podcast, you're going to get the Christmas perspective delivered right to your podcast player. However, you may be signed up, whether it's through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. In any of those four ways, you'll get it. But if you just happen to tap in, go to the website or whatever to listen to the podcast from time to time, you can subscribe if you'd like. But you could also go to Facebook and just search The Christmas Perspective, because there's now a Facebook group which has been established to support these presentations, these audio recordings. They're short. They range from about 5 minutes to 10 minutes, depending on what we're talking about. I think the first chapter was about 9 minutes long. They've all run around since then. I've been working on them. They're 5 or 6 minutes in length. They're pretty short, so it doesn't take long. You can sit down and listen to it yourself, listen with family, loved ones, and you can share with your friends. That's why I set up the Facebook group, so you could just share that with your friends. You can invite your friends into the Facebook group, and the episodes each day, each chapter, will be posted in the Facebook group as they're released. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Couldn't be any easier. So make sure you join in and be part of that, okay? All right. Let me see here. There's stuff I want to get to. And I just realized I didn't open a story that was right at the top of the list. I was working my way through things and missed one. And there it is. This is going to be quick because I've only got a few minutes before the break. The Democrats' impeachment push has been flopping. It's like a fish on the ground. It's flopping. It's gasping for water. It's gasping for breath. It's on life support. But Adam Schiff keeps talking like it's the greatest thing ever, and it's moving forward, and we've got great momentum and nobody questions any of this stuff. When everybody questions every bit of it and it has no momentum, well, over at the Washington Examiner, Byron York, the chief political correspondent at the Washington Examiner and a contributor at Fox News, and the author of the book, The Vast Left-Wing Conspiracy, has just explained why Democrats' impeachment push is bombed with the general public, and he went to Twitter to do it in three tweets. First up, theory. Before hearings, public heard Democrat media impeachment narrative. Trump abused power, engaged in quid pro quo, extortion, bribery, endangered national security. Support for impeachment grew. Next, then hearings showed what impeachment was actually about. Significant part of public went, huh? Support for impeachment began to fall off. And third, in other words, impeachment hearings had exactly opposite effect from Democratic hopes. They wanted compelling TV show to dramatize Trump wrongdoing, instead got insanely complicated bureaucratic tale, mostly about Ukraine. Sale not made. He nails it. He's exactly right. Democrats never made the sale on impeaching President Trump. Here's more from the Washington Examiner. Why did President Trump release aid to Ukraine on September 11th after holding it up for 55 days? Democrats and Republicans have been fighting over the answer throughout the impeachment debate. Democrats and their allies in the media contend Trump freed up the aid only after the White House learned that a whistleblower had filed a complaint against the president. Quote, the reason the aid was produced was that the whistleblower had come forward at that point. That's what CNN's Jeffrey Toobin said Tuesday. Basically, the Trump administration was busted. They got caught. And that's the reason they released the money. Adam Schiff said Thursday, they got caught. That's the reason aid was finally lifted. Republicans offered up an entirely different explanation. Representative Jim Jordan, a leader of GOP impeachment pushback, said the aid was released after Trump heard positive assessments of Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky from Vice President Pence, Senator Ron Johnson, then National Security Advisor John Bolton, and others. They all became convinced of the same thing. Hey, Mr. President, this guy's real. Go ahead and release the dollars. Jordan also noted that the new Ukrainian parliament was working on anti-corruption reform measures at the time. Trump's true reason for releasing the aid matters to the Democratic impeachment scheme. If he released the money after learning about the whistleblower, after he realized the jig was up, then that, at least to Democrats, suggests guilt. If he released it after gaining confidence in Zelensky, that does not suggest guilt. President Trump is right to fight this sham impeachment with all of his might. He has the American people on his side. The polling indicates that Democrats are losing confidence and the general public has lost interest. And Democrats in the general public, in the rank and file, voters, have lost interest. They have seen it's a desperate ploy, that nothing is working, that it's all failing. Impeachment is falling apart. The moderate Democrats are getting cold feet. It's all coming apart. And let's see, do I have time for this? Yeah, I do have time for this. Very quickly, Sunday morning, Washington Post reporter Rachel Blade told a CNN panel that she's hearing that moderate Democrats have been looking at the public shift in the polls on impeachment, and they're getting cold feet. She says, I think what we're starting to see, you know, is when the impeachment inquiry was first announced and they started to do these depositions, a lot of people were asking, can Nancy Pelosi peel off any Republicans in this final impeachment vote? But I increasingly think the question is becoming, does Nancy Pelosi lose more Democrats? Because Republicans have really unified behind the president. And although two Democrats voted against the impeachment inquiry rules that they voted on a couple of weeks ago, we're hearing behind the scenes there are moderates getting cold feet. And when it comes back to these ads and people being afraid of being punished for voting to impeach the president. And that's what it comes down to. Of course, part of the reason for polls turning against impeachment is the fact that the hearings haven't gone as well as Democrats had hoped. It's become increasingly clear that the so-called witnesses are barely witnesses at all, but instead anti-Trump voices relying on hearsay to paint a narrative of impeachable conduct. With moderate Democrats jumping off the impeachment ship, as many as suspected would happen, Pelosi and Schiff are now facing a nightmare scenario where they have to move forward on an impeachment that could potentially fail or just barely pass. You see, they've shot themselves in the foot. People who were smart enough to realize this was going to happen warned it would happen. But in true progressive form, the progressives pushed forward because they were convinced they were smarter. They were right. They knew better. And they didn't. This is The Daily Perspective. Welcome back. It's good to have you along. I appreciate you being there. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and for sharing it with your friends. Regardless of how that happens, whether it be on Facebook Live or through your favorite podcast source, I appreciate it. Let's see, where were we? Oh, yeah. Well, I was over here scanning social media while everything else was going on. Let's see. Let me get back to where I was. Here we are. Yeah. I was talking before the break about the progressives, the Democrats, pushing forward in the face of failure. Even though it's abundantly obvious that everything they're trying to do is just useless, worthless, and essentially a web of lies. And nothing says that more clearly than Representative Adam Schiff's dedication to impeachment. And according to the Daily Wire, he's planning a new round of impeachment hearings amid claims from Democrats and the media that House Democrats did not make their case for impeachment. Over the weekend, the Daily Wire reported that vulnerable Democrats and even left-leaning media stalwart the New York Times were questioning whether Democrat leadership should move forward on an impeachment vote, given that the House Intelligence Committee, led by Schiff, failed to do much more than establish circumstantial evidence of a possible quid pro quo agreement between the president and Ukrainian officials. I would say that that assessment, they established circumstantial evidence of a possible quid pro quo agreement. Now, I don't think they even did that, because one of their key witnesses, Ambassador Sondland, actually testified that the president said, "I don't want anything. No quid pro quo, nothing. I just want the Ukraine president to do what he campaigned on, which is to clean up their swamp." He said, "No, I want nothing." And they got nothing. There was no, they withhold funding, yes, but they withheld funding while they were investigating this new president and his peeps to make sure the funding was going to a good cause and not to another cause that was a black hole. And that's something that he's been talking about his entire presidency, was that we have been on the bad end of so many bad deals. And some of those bad deals are sending funding to nations which use that funding for things we didn't agree to. And Ukraine has a legendary reputation for being corrupt. And every time money gets thrown at them, it disappears into the pockets of Ukrainian officials. So he wanted to make sure that wasn't happening again. Vulnerable and moderate Democrats say the hearings, which produced little in the way of first-person testimony of President Donald Trump's alleged high crimes and misdemeanors, they didn't produce any first-person testimony. It wasn't just little in the way. There was no, it was all hearsay. Well, I heard somebody said this, and they said that, and that. The closest we got was one guy who claimed to have overheard a telephone conversation and said that that it was so loud, the phone was so loud he could hear Trump across the table. And you know what? People have tried to demonstrate how that works, and they failed. Okay. Vulnerable and moderate Democrats say the hearings, which produced little in the way of first-person testimony of President Donald Trump's alleged high crimes and misdemeanors and featured few big-name witnesses, are costing them support and could cost them key races. Independents are fleeing from the impeachment inquiry in droves, and for the first time since the hearings started, fewer than 50% of Americans believe the president should be impeached. And that's saying something, considering the amount of leftist press. 98%? It was 97 or 98%, right? Of the press on President Trump during the impeachment process has been negative. When you've got 98% of the press being negative and less than 50% of Americans believe the president should be impeached, you've got a problem if you're on the impeachment side. Furthermore, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat from California, who's been suspiciously absent these last 2 weeks. Have you noticed that? Aside from her regular Thursday morning press briefings, she's pretty much been invisible. Well, she's refused to provide air support in toss-up races, and the Democratic National Committee isn't matching the millions of dollars in advertising Republicans plan to air over Thanksgiving and the holiday season, pushing against the Democrats' message of presidential malfeasance. One reason that the DNC isn't matching the millions is because they don't have it. The DNC is essentially broke. They're bankrupt. They have so little in their coffers right now that they can't afford all that TV time. The Republicans, on the other hand, their campaign donations are rolling in like gravy because people are sick and tired of the Democrats and what they're doing, and they're supporting the Republicans. To top it off, the New York Times questioned Schiff's handling of the impeachment inquiry on Saturday, suggesting that the absence of major players from the witness stand shows Schiff is nervous about his own case. The Times is being astute. Schiff hasn't put any of the big names mentioned often in other witness testimony on the stand for cross-examination. Rudy Giuliani isn't slated to appear. Neither is John Bolton or Mick Mulvaney. Vice President Mike Pence sent his own statement to the committee but wasn't asked to testify. Even the president offered to submit himself to interrogatories, but he was ignored. The whistleblower wasn't asked to give his or her account of the alleged incident, even in a closed session. And even though the whistleblower's account was referenced repeatedly as being the core basis for Schiff's impeachment case. Part of the problem is, of course, that Schiff doesn't want the White House to mount a defense, and certainly doesn't want House Republicans to poke holes in witness testimony. But as a result, he's managed to make a case for impeachment that hinges entirely on the word of low-level and often anonymous federal employees. In other words, he's managed to make a case that isn't a case. That seems to be needling at Schiff. And yesterday, he told CNN he's reconsidering wrapping up his report before Thanksgiving, and may now call additional witnesses, including, potentially, John Bolton. He told CNN Sunday, quote, "We don't foreclose the possibility of more depositions, more hearings. We are in the process of getting more documents all the time. So that investigative work is being done. We've certainly been in touch with John Bolton's lawyer, and what we've been informed by his lawyer, because we invited him and he didn't choose to come in to testify, is if we subpoena him, they will sue us in court. Now, he'll have to explain one day, if he maintains that position, why he wanted to wait to put it in a book instead of telling the American people what he knew when it really mattered to the country." He's trying to paint Bolton in a negative light here in order to goad Bolton into showing up, is what he's trying to do. But John Bolton doesn't have to show up if he doesn't want to. You have to remember that this entire thing is a show. It's a show. It's a show trial. It's a witch hunt. It's a dog and pony show. It's kangaroo court. And it's also being done very poorly by the Democrats, because they have no case against the president. They're trying to make the appearance of a case, but they don't have a case. God love them, bless their hearts. They're trying. But they're failing. They're even failing in court. Because the Supreme Court yesterday gave President Trump a boost by extending its hold on a lower court ruling that required his longtime accounting firm to hand over his financial records to a Democratic-led House of Representatives committee. See, they're trying to get his financial records in order to paint him as being some big, rich, out-of-touch, and corrupt businessman. Remember, the progressive left paints success as evil. So when you have a successful man like Donald Trump, who has, yes, he's had a few bankruptcies. He's had a handful, maybe five of his companies have gone bankrupt, attempts to do business, five of them out of over 200. That's not a bad percentage when you look at it. 2.5% failure rate. They're painting him as being this big evil ogre, rich ogre, who's making his billions off of the backs of the worker. And that's why you see, from time to time, you see people testifying or people saying, yeah, well, I saw stuff going behind the scenes and I heard this happen and that happened. I used to work for Trump and I saw all this. And all of those people no longer work for Trump. They have been fired. They didn't do a satisfactory job and for some reason got bumped. And their sour grapes are now what the Democrats are wanting you to listen to. There's more to this story about the Supreme Court order. We'll get to that right after the break when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It is the Tuesday edition of the podcast, November 26th, 2019. It's a short week as I'll be taking a break. Thanksgiving Day, I won't be back on Black Friday. No, I'm not going shopping. But I got to tell you something. I'll try to put the link in the show notes. I'll try to remember to put the link in the show notes today. But KJ52, he's a rapper. He's got the funniest Black Friday shopping video. And I shared it on my personal social media today. I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes. I'll try to stick it on the podcast page today as well, on Facebook and on Twitter, because it's pretty funny stuff. It really is. Did you sneeze in your hand? It's a long weekend for most people, a short weekend for a lot of people. There'll be a lot of insanity at retail outlets coming up in the next few days, and hopefully you will find your way to stay out of it. All right, back to what I was talking about before, this story about the Supreme Court order. Let me back up just a bit and give you the first paragraph again. We'll dive through this, coming from the Federalist Papers, .org. The Supreme Court yesterday gave President Donald Trump a boost by extending its hold on a lower court ruling that required his longtime accounting firm to hand over his financial records to a Democratic-led House of Representatives committee. The unsigned order will remain in effect until after the Supreme Court decides whether to hear Trump's appeal of the lower court ruling that directed Mazars LLP, Trump's longtime accounting firm, to comply with the subpoena for the records. Trump has until December 5th to file his appeal. The action by the justices suggests that there is a good chance they will take up Trump's appeal in his fight with the House Oversight Committee, but does not guarantee it. The case represents an important showdown, pitting the powers of the presidency against the authority of Congress, with Trump fighting doggedly to keep details of his finances private, even as he faces an impeachment inquiry in the House. Trump appealed to the Supreme Court after the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit on November 13 rejected his request that the appeals court reconsider its ruling the previous month in favor of the committee. In a separate case, Trump on the 14th of this month asked the Supreme Court to hear his appeal of another lower court ruling that directed Mazars to provide local prosecutors in New York Trump's personal and corporate tax returns from 2011 to 2018 as part of a criminal investigation. The Republican president's lawyers have called the House committee's subpoena to Mazars LLP illegitimate, The appeals court ruling, if left intact, would bring Democrats closer to gaining insight on Trump's business interests and personal wealth. The fight over Trump's financial records is part of a larger struggle between the president and the Democrats, who control the House and have launched numerous investigations, including an impeachment inquiry into his conduct and various actions by his administration. The House committee subpoenaed Mazars this year, saying it needed the records to determine if Trump complied with laws requiring disclosure of his assets and to assess whether those laws needed to be changed. It is not clear exactly what records the committee has requested, but according to Trump's lawyers, it did not specifically ask for Trump's tax records. The court has a 5-4 conservative majority that includes two Trump appointees, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. Both Trump cases are likely to be on a fast track, meaning that if the court decides to hear them, rulings would be due before the end of June when the court's current term concludes. Backing up just a second, just a bit here. The House committee subpoenaed the Mazars this year, saying it needed the records to determine if Trump complied with laws requiring disclosure of his assets, comma, and to assess whether those laws needed to be changed, period. After the comma is the important part. If he complied with the laws, they want to change the laws because they didn't get enough dirt. The Democrats, it's a Democrat House committee, want to see if he complied with the laws, and if they can't find anything wrong there, they want to see if maybe they should change the laws so they can find things wrong. This is who we're dealing with in Washington, D.C. Let's see if we may need to change the laws then. You know, we wouldn't find any dirt. Yikes. And there was something else. I'm scanning back through here because there was something else that I made a note. Just generally speaking, all of this financial stuff is important to the progressives, because progressives understand, because they have been brainwashing people for so long, they understand that many people believe that billionaires, wealthy people, are crooks in some way, shape, or form. You've seen this, you've heard this yourself, that those people are making money off the backs of the worker. Now, that's socialist speak, is what that is. They're making money off the back of the worker. Well, here's the thing. If you want to make money yourself that way, then you establish the business, you put the time and effort in, you sacrifice the time with your family and the sleep, and many times go without the things that you need because you have to spend that money on paying your employees. You take the chances, you pay for the insurance, you pay the lease on the building that everything is in, you buy all of the product or all of the equipment needed to perform the service. You take all of that risk and you put your money out there and build the business that employs the people you trust, and you do things your way, and then you will make that kind of money if you're smart enough to, if you figure out how to make that happen. Unless you're willing to do that, or unless you have done that, I really don't think you have legs to stand on pointing at someone else and claiming that they're making money off the backs of the workers. No, they're making money off of their risk, and their responsibility is greater than you can imagine, because they're not just responsible for paying their bills. They're responsible for keeping their business going so that everybody who works for them can pay their bills. And if you think you're not making enough money, address that with your employer. And if your employer says, yeah, you're making all I can pay you, and you believe you're worth more, find a job that will pay you more for what you're... if you believe you're worth it, prove it to somebody and get paid that. Otherwise, all you're doing is grousing about something because you're unhappy. You're whining. Stop whining and do something. All of these socialists who are trying to demonize President Trump for his wealth, and yeah, I'm talking about the social justice warriors, the basement brigaders who are on social media, and the Democrats in our government, they're talking about his wealth. They're ignorant or they're manipulative, one of the two. And in the case of people in government, they're the manipulators. They want his tax records, that's one of the cases, and they want his financial records because they want to be able to tell the people, he's incredibly wealthy and you're not, and you should be jealous. This man shouldn't have all this money. Look at all this money that we could be doing things with. Think about the people, the children and the school programs that we could feed. We could feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner 365 days a year. Look at all the medical care we could buy with this man's money. Look, this is the way they think. He shouldn't have that money. The government should have that money. Well, here's the thing. Let's assume they succeeded. Let's assume for just a moment that they succeeded to get his financial records and they made enough people angry and they succeeded in persuading the right people, or possibly bribing or blackmailing the right people, into confiscating every dime of Donald Trump's wealth. He's destitute. He's broke. He's got nothing anymore. He can't afford a pair of socks. They've taken it all from him. Every last dime. Sold off his businesses. Liquidated everything so that the billions he has in cash and in property are now money in the coffers at the U.S. government. Let's just assume that. They'd be able to run for a few weeks and that'd be it. They wouldn't be able to pay for the programs that they say must happen. Medicare for all? Psh, Trump's wealth would pay for a fraction, a tiny fraction of that. Yeah. They're demonizing people who are producing jobs. They're demonizing people like Trump who are producing wealth for other people. Because there are people who work for people like Donald Trump who are getting wealthy because they have shown their talent, they've shown their ability, and they've been rising in the corporate structure to the point where their knowledge and their ability is being rewarded handsomely with handsome pay. And then there's the flip side. The people who complain, the people who we'll say, yeah, I saw things behind the scene. You know, that guy's a crook. Those people, they're not being rewarded handsomely because they aren't interested in learning how everything works and climbing the ladder and making more money. To the point that at some point, when they feel like they've learned enough, they can step out on their own and start their own business and really reap the rewards of the risk involved. It's a sad, sad situation. So many people are so misinformed, and they believe that people like Donald Trump and other wealthy people are victimizing their employees, when in truth, they're giving them ample opportunities. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. It is the Tuesday edition of the podcast, November 26th, heading into Thanksgiving. I'm shuffling stuff. Forgive me. I'm padding while I shuffle. Hey, did you see where Bloomberg News, you know, Michael Bloomberg's news operation, The leadership there has decided to institute a policy that forbids their staff journalists from investigating Michael Bloomberg or any other 2020 Democrat presidential candidate. Wow, that's journalism at its finest, don't you think? Of course, they're not going to be investigating any Democrat because they are a leftist organization. What they want to do is dig up dirt on the opposition. I only mention this because you need to see that what I say every day about the leftist press is true. There is no journalistic integrity. There is no honor in what they do. They are propagandists for the leftist cause. And that is all. That is it. On the other hand, there are some shining lights in the news media. There are people who will tell you the truth. There are people who will offer their opinion that doesn't echo the echo chamber. One of those people is Tucker Carlson over at Fox News. And he's talking about, in the story that I'm about to relate to you from the Federalist Papers, he's talking about something that looks like conspiracy theory, but the further along we get in the presidential race, the less like conspiracy theory it looks. And last night on Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News, he talked about Democrat presidential candidates and a possibility that maybe we should be taking more seriously.
If you're wondering who the Democratic nominee will be, don't bet against Michelle Obama. Now, last week, the former First Lady issued a statement saying that she has no interest in being president. That's what she claimed. But there are signs that that's not true, actually. For example, David Axelrod, who is one of the Obama's closest and most loyal advisors, has been waging a scorched earth campaign against Joe Biden for months. What's the point of this? Because political consultants always have a point. Well, presumably the point is designed to weaken Biden, who is apparently the front runner. Biden has taken big hits from Axelrod. Axelrod has called him a liar, called him a coward, all but accused him of having dementia. Now, would David Axelrod be doing all of that without the consent of the Obamas? No, there's no chance. So you'd think Obama might stand up for Joe Biden, by the way. The two worked together for 8 years. They claim to be best friends. And yet that hasn't happened. In fact, not only has Obama refused to endorse Biden, he tried to stop Biden from running in the first place. Asked about their relationship, Biden had no choice but to resort to sad lies like this one.
Why hasn't President Obama endorsed you? You guys served together for 8 years.
Because I want to earn this on my own.
Did he offer to endorse you?
No, we didn't even get there. I asked him not to. He said, okay, I think he thinks it's better for me.
Well, that's just pathetic. I mean, you don't even want to pile on. It's just sad to watch. And of course, if Obama had endorsed Joe Biden, the race would be over. Biden would, in effect, be the nominee already. Obama hasn't endorsed Joe Biden because he doesn't want to endorse Joe Biden. Why? Maybe he's got other plans. Obama's presidential memoir was supposed to come out this year. Now, its release has been delayed to the middle of the Democratic primaries. In other words, at exactly the moment when Democrats will be thinking deeply about how to beat Donald Trump, America will be talking about the Obamas. Coincidence? Maybe it is. Maybe it's also a coincidence that Michelle Obama just released yet another book last week, one that will require her, of course, to get on the road and talk to crowds. Maybe she really isn't interested in joining the race, but that would make her unusual among Democrats in this country. The current field is so weak that it's inviting a lot of new entrants. Even an unpopular former Massachusetts governor has convinced himself he can be president. The mediocre mayor of a small crime-ridden town in Indiana may actually win the Iowa caucuses. It is that bad this year. The Democratic Party is ripping itself apart over race and gender and class. Michelle Obama, let's be honest, is one of the only people who could unite the party's warring factions. Could she win a general election? Well, let's see. A poll earlier this year found that Michelle Obama was the most admired woman in the world. Of course, she would be far less admired if the press gave her a little bit of scrutiny. But what are the chances that would happen in a race? Let's say Michelle Obama got into the contest this spring or this summer. Could the media cover for Michelle Obama until Election Day? Are you serious? Yeah, they could, and they would. One of the main lessons of Donald Trump's 2016 election is that you never really know what's going to happen. Unexpected things happen far more often than we imagine they do or that we pretend they do. But wait a second, you say. The one thing we do know is that Michelle Obama doesn't want to be president. She's been categorical about it. Absolutely not. She's not running. That's what she said. Yeah, that's what she said. But before you take those words too seriously, consider the following exchange. This is from January 22nd, 2006.
I will serve out my full six-year term. You know, Tim, if you get asked enough, sooner or later you get weary. and you start looking for new ways of saying things. But my thinking has not changed.
But so you will not run for president or vice president in 2008?
I will not.
Tim Russert went on to thank Senator Obama for his candor. Just months after he did that, Barack Obama joined the presidential race. 3 years later, almost to the day, he was inaugurated president of the United States.
So when a Democrat politician says they're not going to do something, they don't care if they've made that commitment or not. They will rationalize a way into doing what they said they would not do. This is an example that has proven itself to be true time and time again. Candidate after candidate after candidate has said those same words. No, I'm going to serve my entire term. I have no interest in running for this other office. Time and time again. And time again, their words have been broken. As they, in sometimes mere weeks, have stepped in to the fray and run for the office they said they would not run for. And when Michelle says she is not interested, and when a new book is set up to be released in the height of the campaign, there is more than enough reason to raise an eyebrow and to question things. It is a situation at this point which is just something that makes you go, And that's really all it is at this point. Conspiracy theory? Maybe so. But when you look at the circumstances surrounding the Obamas, when you realize that name, Obama, is being kept alive on so many different fronts, that Barack Obama is very active. His community organizing has gone into national organizing, and he is constantly busy. I get emails almost every day from his little community organizing group, because I signed up a while back because I just like to see what they're telling people. Right now, they're working on redistricting voting, the maps for voting districts. That's how Virginia got turned over. The fact that they redistricted Virginia and the Republicans just threw their hands up and said, well, we don't care, we can't win. And they didn't fight. That's the primary reason. But Obama's little organization is taking credit for the Virginia win because of their work redistricting. He's staying out there. He's staying in touch with his base. He's staying alive because the cause is still being pushed. That transformation, they still want it to take place. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.